everyone, to RB1 : Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. Look at that. A little bit peeling back the onion curtain. We started without Nick, and now Nick jumps on just at the nick of time.
The nick of time.
Yeah, did you get it? You got it. Also, he shaved. Anyways, I'm the consummate professional conductor of the now returning from IR, Devin Funches, hype train, worshiper of Nikhil Harry, your humble host, Keith Rogers. And I am joined by some of the guys. We have the champion of Doggos Everywhere, the man formerly known as Steve Timberland, DK Metcalf's number one admirer, resident old man Clark Burns, and biggest 49ers fan you know, fan of what scientists lovingly call facts and thinks horses are cooler than donkeys, Ginger Woodsman, Nick Botiford. Well, Ginger Normal Man. We're changing that back now. Ginger Normal Man, Nick Botiford. Guys, how we doing?
Doing great, Pete.
Good, Pete. Very, very good. How are you?
I am good. Clark, I did want to give the opening of this show. Normally, we just talk about all kinds of shenanigans and craziness, but I did want to give this you the opportunity. This is your time to use this platform to retaliate someone in response to your Sony Michel take that Sony Michel will have a good season. Responded by saying on Twitter, these people must not watch football. So Clark, this is your platform to retaliate to this Wayne.
So I'm just disappointed that he didn't mention me, because I've been doing this for a long time and people rarely yell at me on Twitter. I feel like that's how you know you've made it. So I just feel left out.
Quick shout out to a regular guy who hits me up on Twitter, Bobby Dukenwah. I always appreciate your mentions, man. Thank you.
Let's see. See, we're not doing this because we think we're the smartest people in the world. It's fun, and when people say thanks, it's for the Twitter mentions. Huge deal.
Yeah,
it's so fun.
What we do it. I mean, that's why we do it, so we get mentions on Twitter.
Honestly, good or bad, they're always a blast. My favorite was when I joined with you guys last year, and I was talking about how Aaron Jones is awesome, but Jamal Williams would be the starter because Mike McCarthy is an idiot. And this guy was just sending me like essays about how much better of a player Aaron Jones was. And I was like, no, I know. Like, that's not the point that I'm making. He ended up blocking me. He just blocked me.
You're like, you're totally missing the point here, buddy. You are definitely not getting what I'm trying to say. So anyway, so Wayne, that's at NFL Clark. And you can tell him personally that he doesn't watch football.
And hey, man, check my Twitter feed. I'm super nice. So if you want to hurl insults at me, I will gladly accept them.
I will smile back. I always try to figure out what exactly is the line to play. Normally what I go for is like the sassy comeback. And then if they respond to the sassy comeback, then I'm like, okay, well, I'm done with you now. You never be mean, never be inappropriate, but you can do like this, you know, sassy comeback. Like this same Wayne. This Wayne guy has been all up in our mentions. Get out of here, Wayne, except for Clark's. Been in Clark's mentions.
We love you.
Wayne, if you're gonna come at us, though, make sure to tag us. Come at us and tag us. Ooh. Is that the new RB1 slogan?
If you follow me, I retweet all kinds of cute dog videos, cat stuff. No politics here, guys. Just fun. Nick retweets enough politics stuff to keep me informed
Nick,
on what's going on. Which I'm
like 95% odds.
Right.
So I have, for the Fake Teams Twitter account, I just have a list of all of you guys, all the whole staff on it, all your Twitter accounts, so that if you guys tweet anything cool, I can easily see it and retweet it. And anytime I try to find an article that Nick tweets out, it's like scrolling through endless amounts of things. And it's like, oh, there it is. Burned in a month's 1,300 tweets about things that I can't retweet.
Right. Yeah. Boy, if you want to know why Nancy Pelosi caused me to leave the Democratic Party, you are more than welcome to visit my timeline.
There you go. All it's all good, on.
You know, Bernie Sanders slides. You know, I'm really enjoying those.
That's what Twitter's for. Awesome. Well, what we're here for is to give you week 12 starts and sits. So why don't we do just that? And we'll start, Nick, why don't you start us off? Give us, you can, as the first person, choose where we're going. Are we going to start giving our starts, or do you want to start giving our sits? What do you got?
I always prefer starts. I'm finding sits so hard to come by nowadays, where like matchups are basically just, they limit players' ceilings a little bit, but everybody kind of is the way they are. But this week I tried to focus entirely on, thank you. I tried to focus entirely on, toss-ups or guys that, people would really be trying to make a tough call on. So I'm big on Jalen Samuels this week. Really any running back that faces, or any player that faces the Cincinnati defense is an amazing start, but there are some questions around Jalen Samuels. So, James Conner's shoulder injury is bizarre. AC joint sprains don't usually do this to running backs. So I think there's more than meets the eye here. But regardless, I don't expect him to play this week because he did re-aggravate whatever the injury is. He re-aggravated it last week. In the games that he has missed, there have been some backup running backs that have had meaningful box score results, like Trey Edmonds and Benny Snell Jr., who's expected to be returning from injury for this game. I like Jalen Samuels a lot. I like him regardless of Snell or Edmonds getting carries this week. Samuels has a standalone receiving role in the offense when James Conner's out. And we saw this to the point that, was it like two or three games ago, Mason Rudolph targeted him 13 times. He led the team. He caught all 13 of them. That kind of value, you know, we have to keep in mind that targets are way more valuable than carries are. Targets average like over 7 yards a pop. Carries are in the like 4.1. If he's getting that much usage, like, I mean, you know, 13 touch running backs are extremely valuable. If he's getting, you know, 10 targets and seven carries, that's outrageously valuable given the fact that he's got such a high passing game usage. So even if Trey Edmonds or Benny Snell Jr. are, you know, they split like 15 carries, Jalen Samuels is extremely valuable on his own. We don't have to worry about these ancillary running backs. Roll Jalen Samuels out there as a running back two. I think I've actually got him as like the running back 12 this week. So I'll back in RB1. Anyway, yeah, like Jalen Samuels a lot.
Yeah, I like it. It's hard to root for the Steelers after Mason Rudolph has showed us who he is. And I guess he's going to start this week. Yeah, I guess he's going to start this week. But I found it very funny. I know a couple of Steelers fans who have drank the Kool-Aid, and that's awesome.
Do they get all up in your mentions, Clark?
No. This is, I don't, cute dog and cat pictures.
That's all you deal with.
What I'm on Twitter for. And GIFs. So any and short GIFs. Videos yeah. also, I'm fine. But I feel like when you're hoping that Mason Rudolph gets the start, you are at a level of fandom that I experienced for much of my life rooting for the Astros back when they were just eking into the playoffs to lose to the Braves. But Jalen Samuels, even with a shitty quarterback, is playing against the Bengals and is that relief valve option. So I like your call here, Nick. I think he's a good start.
Yeah, and we've seen plenty of running backs have great success against the Bengals, and more so with James Conner injured. And Nick, you touched on this. Like, we have seen, even though the Steelers have rolled in kind of ancillary backs with Jalen Samuels, we've seen every single time that Jalen Samuels still has been the main guy in one of the two phases, if not both, and has been extremely productive. So even if you're like, well, Benny Snell's coming back, what is that going to do? Or, you know, who is the other? Trey Edmonds? It's like, well, what if those guys play? It's like, we still have seen Jalen Samuels is that guy. He is going to be the number one back as long as James Conner is out, regardless, and will have fantasy value regardless of who else is who's sharing a backfield with him. And this is a nice segue, because I'll segue right into my first start, because I'm also talking about this game. I like Vance McDonald in this game because Juju's out, which means Rudolph is throwing to James Washington, Dante Johnson, and your boy Vance. And he's seen 7 targets in his last 3 games and is now facing the worst fantasy defense against tight ends over the last 4 weeks. So they're allowing the second most yards to the position. And Vance is going to get a heavy workload against a bad defense. It's going to lead us to great fantasy production.
Yeah, I dig it. I think it's going to be safety blanket city just because he's such a limited quarterback. I mean, he's likely to have 100 yards. Like he could very well blow up this defense, but Mason Rudolph is not an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, it's just hard to root for any tight ends not named Kyle Rudolph.
But he's on a bye this week, so you got to pick someone.
This is a really classic tough fantasy matchup, and even if you don't take the advice, I think it's fun to think about. The Steelers are not very good, and Mason Rudolph is not very good. But they are playing the Bengals. So all of my instincts saying like, no, I want to get away from this offense. I don't want anything to do with that. Yeah. And then you look at, well, they're playing the Bengals. It's like, well, okay, well, maybe. So maybe you should take a couple of shots on this game.
I think, though, you need to be smart with your shots because the Bengals secondary against, and we'll talk a little bit about this as we get all the way down to talking to the Oracle. But you do want to take a, you want to be a little cautious with the Bengals because their secondary against wide receivers has been above average at limiting fantasy production. And so, but there are certainly things you can exploit. Tight end and running back have had great games against them. Wide receivers a little bit less so. So, but you're right. That it's one of these matchups where you're like, oh God, I really don't want to deal with the Steelers offense. And then you're like, oh, but it is the Bengals defense. And I do like that. Clark, who you got starting this week?
Yeah, so a little local news. Trump came down the street from me today, messing up traffic and creating a lot of really fun conversations to listen to. And we're just going to lean into it because it's Scarborough country this week. I know you went out and picked up Bo Scarborough, and his matchup this week is a fantastic one, going up against the Washington Breadsticks, giving up the 7th most points to opposing running backs. And I don't think it's because they're necessarily an incredibly bad team. I think it's that they're not in any of their games. And so that's giving teams the opportunity to run the ball endlessly at them. And that's exactly what I think Bo Scarborough is good at. He's not an incredibly dynamic running back who's going to light it up like a la Le'Veon Bell or those shiftier backs like Austin Eckler. He is a really old, boring running back a la LeGarrette Blount. And I know I talked about this Monday, but I think that Matt Patricia wants to ride a guy like that. Matt Stafford's going to miss, even though Jeff Driskel showed us he's competent and capable of moving the offense. I think they would be more than happy to run the ball 35 times against the Breadsticks and just, you know, win 13-3. So yeah, you went out and paid for Scarborough. You should definitely get him into your lineup this week.
Yeah, I had him on my my list too. I've got an alternate. Don't worry, Pete. But I endorse this message, not Donald Trump, but I endorse the Bo Scarborough message.
Yeah, I wrote the buy or sell article on fake teams this week, and one of them was whether or not you believe Bo Scarborough has the inside track to the number one back in Detroit. And for the most part, people were, it was a 50-50 split more or less as to whether or not people believe that. I just have been spurned by the Lions backfield too many times to want to take to be a part of it. But I trust your confidence, Clark. And I trust that if you do have Bo Scarborough and you went out for get him, this is a great matchup and one that, like, on paper, he should be able to take advantage of. And the game plan is there for him to be heavily utilized. I just can't in good faith trust Matt Patricia to like start the right running back that you are playing in fantasy because he has yet to prove that he will do that. And another perfect segue, I'm going to jump over Nick's second one and we're going to go back to me again because on the flip side, I'm calling this Darius Geis' breakout game. The Lions are terrible against the run, giving up the 4th most points the last 4 weeks and the most points this season. And we saw Geis start getting some looks against the Jets. He produced 96 yards and a touchdown last week and looked good. First game back after week one. I love him as a solid flex play this week, going up against a great matchup and starting to eat into that backfield and probably become the number one back there in Washington.
I don't know, Pete. Washington's really bad.
I'm not on board with this one. I believe I saw Chris Thompson has returned to practice. Darius Geis, you know, he had a nice, I think like 70 yard touchdown run or produced 70 yards and a long run. But that play, from what I've come to understand, was basically like it would have been bad if he couldn't have scored because he had no one in his way. I am so down on the way that this team treats their people coming off of injury that I just cannot trust it. But if you're in like a keeper league, it's not at all a bad idea to have invested in him.
Well, I'm starting him in 3 of my leagues.
Yeah, and it's we're at that point in the season where if Geis is your second running back on a week where there's a couple of good teams on bye, that's not a bad play. But if you're vacillating between, I mean, I would much rather play Samuels over Geis.
Oh, right? Yes.
I just think that there's a lot more potential there, and that's why doing starts it's tough. But Geis, I think, is a really talented player. Like, you know, probably like the 15, 12 ish running back in the league, so a good player. He's just on such a bad team that it's hard to get excited about it. But if I had him and needed to start him, you could do a lot worse than Geis.
I'm beer betting whoever wants to take it, Darius Geis finishes a top 24 back this week.
Yeah, I'm down.
Cool.
you know, I'll take it. I'll take almost any bet.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. These are real beers that we do hand out to each other eventually at some point when we all get together and the worlds collide.
Fact.
It's going to be the sloshiest night ever as we all owe each other like 13 to 15 beers. We're just going to keep calling upon them. Bring it on, baby. Nick, why don't you give us your second start for the week?
Cool. So I got a twofer because they're both on the same offense. So I'm just going to knock both these guys out real quick. I am into both Jonathan Williams and Zach Pascal this week. So for Jonathan Williams, what I expect, and I had a little exchange on Twitter today with the aforementioned Bobby Dukes. He came in and he played really well after Marlon Mack broke his hand last week. Touched the ball, carried it 13 times for 116 yards. He caught a 31-yard pass too. He showed prowess in, you know, in both facets of the game. This is a guy who multiple coaching staffs have tried to coax a very high ceiling out of. He's long been looked at as a talented player. He is. I don't know why he. I mean, he got shipped out of Buffalo because Doug Marrone wanted to institute the no one under 35 years old policy, and
it was, you know, a successful policy.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole exodus was bizarre. But anyway, the kid played really well. It's compounded by Jordan Wilkins having a sprained ankle. He didn't play last week. He did return to practice, and he's now been removed from the injury report. Something to keep in mind, injury reports don't mean what they used to with the, you know, eradication of the probable designation. Regardless, even if Jordan Wilkins is healthy, who I really like, I think that Jonathan Williams will get first crack at being the lead back in this offense. I expect 13 to 15 carries out of him. I expect him to succeed. I do expect Nyheim Hines to have his own standalone role, probably 8 to 10 targets. But I think if you're looking for a lead back in a good matchup, of course, against Houston, who, of course, lost J.J. Watt, who was like their lone good defensive player. You know, Benardrick McKinney, their interior linebacker, is appalling in coverage. So if they want to send him on routes, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I like Jonathan Williams as a flex a lot this week. Similarly, Zach Pascal. I don't think it matters if he has competition from T.Y. Hilton, who was able to participate in their team's walkthrough today. He has not practiced, but he did participate in the walkthrough because, of course, they're playing tomorrow. This Houston Texans secondary is friggin' bad. I mean, the whole defense is bad. I would confidently fire at Pascal whether or not T.Y. Hilton is there as a wide receiver too. His ceiling probably fluctuates. You can make arguments both ways. It's better to have T.Y. Hilton there, he draws coverage, or it's better to not have him, he gets more targets. Whatever. It's a great matchup, and I would rank Pascal as like a low-end wide receiver too, to a high-end flex play regardless. So given the great matchup and T.Y. Hilton's, you know, he's gonna, anyway. Yeah, start Zach Pascal.
Yeah, I think the only thing that can hold back this Colts offense is a sputtering Texans offense and the Colts not needing to put up many points. I don't think that's going to happen. So I think all the secondary guys in this game for both teams are strong plays.
Nick, are you at all worried that Reich came out and said that Jonathan Williams and Jordan Wilkins will share the workload? I know you said that Wilkins is dealing with some injuries, but it was like a pretty immediate coming out. And I think it was like Monday, right? Said that they were splitting this workload.
I'll be honest here. I did not see that press clipping. I still think that Williams, given his strong performance, will.
I mean, he looked the better back crack. For sure. Yeah. I mean, like I 100% agree with you. Like if I hadn't seen that, I would be like, yes, ride Williams all the way to infinity and beyond. My only worry is that they're going to come out and we're going to see what we saw with like Detroit, where it's now no longer a one person backfield. It's a three person backfield.
Yeah. The distinction that I would make is I think the Colts have the best offensive line of football.
That's true.
Both of these guys can total like 20 to 25 touches, and Nyheim Hines can still get 8 targets and the offense will stay humming as it normally did. Cause you know, Marlon Mack, I think he averages around 20 carries a game. Like the two backs can split that and still be profitable.
Yeah. No, I like it. And we all know, as Clark loves to point out, there's nothing that the Houston Texans on defense do worse than cover running backs in the passing game, which means Nyheim Hines probably going to have a little bit of solid production there. Clark, what's another start for you?
This is for those quarterback needy teams going into week 12. I tried to pick up and failed Sam Darnold this week. Jets on a bit of a hot streak as they go into the softer portion of their schedule. Darnold put up 21 and 25 points for ESPN scoring against the Giants and the Breadsticks, and the Jets are playing the Raiders, who are not the laughing stock that they used to be, but are not especially good either. So I think Darnold is getting hot as they start to play some softer teams, and I think that he's going to be kind of widely available in leagues and great matchup against the Raiders this week.
I'm super on board with it. Yeah, it's a phenomenal matchup. You said it well. Start Sam Darnold.
We all had confidence in this Jets offense moving into the season. Like, people were high on it. There's a lot of talent there, and it certainly got pushed off the rails when he got mono, and then it took a little bit of while for his liver or kidney or whatever, pancreas. What's the thing that gets infected by mono? Your teenager has to the swelling has to go down before you can really start playing again. And we're starting to see it. We're starting to see now that Darnold's healthy again, the offense is clicking again, things are moving again, and it coincides with the schedule getting real easy. So, yeah, I love it. I think if you can get him, he's a guy who you should be starting for the rest of the year as a possibly a QB1. Certainly, if you play in a super flex, he should be your flex. No props. Man, this starts section so far has been highlighted by excellent transitions because flip side again, going to be talking about the Raiders offense and why you should be starting Tyrell Williams, because he started the year scoring a touchdown in every game he played, and he hasn't in 3 weeks. But that streak's going to come back against the Jets, who've allowed 10 touchdowns to wide receivers in the last 4 weeks. Tyrell Williams is number one target for Derek Carr, and he's going to feast against this Jets secondary that has looked like hot trash this year.
Yeah, I pulled Amari Cooper out of my lineup this week for Tyrell.
Transition, not to spoil who one of my sits is, but yes, good move.
Let's go, man. Get it going. Clark agrees.
I got nothing to say about the Raiders other than I hope Josh Jacobs doesn't kill himself in his rookie year.
Yeah, that would be a bummer. Quick tip of the cap to Clark, by the way. Clark, back-to-back years that you have been on the bandwagon of a rookie running back who has come into the league and has put up very good fantasy performances. Nick Chubb 2 years ago, Josh Jacobs this year. Just recognizing game recognizing game.
That's what I bring to the table. I can take things that Matt Waldman says and exposes to me and then repeat them to a different audience.
So. And you don't even need to watch football, so it's all good.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we'll get into sits because I got to do my perfect transition that's been well delayed by now. But first, we're going to take a quick ad break. All right, we are back, and it sits. Nick perfectly told us that he sit Amari Cooper for Tyrell Williams, and that's great advice, Nicholas, because you should sit Amari Cooper this week. He's banged up, and he's getting the Stephon Gilmore treatment, and you can't have a bad game from one of your, like, stud players in a starting lineup at this point because everyone's jockeying for playoff position, and having someone in your lineup like Amari Cooper who gives you a big whopping zero or 3 points, they're a very poor performance. That's not going to help you. Even if you're benching him for someone like Tyrell Williams, I think Tyrell Williams is going to give you a great game. But like a Zach Pascal who could give you a really good game, I think you want to take the risk rather than trust that Amari Cooper is going to beat the Patriots defense that has given up the fewest points to wide receivers this year. And in the last 4 weeks, they're amazingly consistent. They've been shutting down offenses everywhere you turn, and especially number one receivers in offenses. And I just don't think Amari Cooper, even if he was fully healthy, is going to get you the return you're looking for. This isn't to say that you should completely sell all of your Cowboys stock. We've seen, occasionally wide receivers have success against the Patriots, but I think this is going to be a Michael Gallup or a Randall Cobb game much more than it is going to be an Amari Cooper game.
So I've got to echo your sentiment here on sitting Cooper. And I also said that you should sit Gallup. He's Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup were my sits, or two of my sits. I think that the Lions got rooked a little bit by Amari Cooper going out there. They put their best corner on him, and Gallup blew up, and Amari Cooper looked like he was struggling to run for a significant portion of the game. He would make a play and then go out. So kudos to Cooper for trying to gut it out, but I don't think he's 100%, and I think that The Patriots are the type of team who will see that and not waste their best corner on someone. I agree with you, though, that this is not a sell for everyone. I think that I'm going to try to guess what the Patriots are doing, so maybe Wayne's right. So I think that Dak is surrounded by enough talent to still win this game, and I think he's going to do that by deploying Zeke, Cobb, and even Tony Pollard creatively this week. I think Pollard is showing that he is worth some extra snaps, and I don't think that that takes away anything from Zeke. This is lazy, and so it's one of my favorite things to do. The Amari Cooper, Mark Ingram model works when you have two incredibly talented backs on a good offense. It doesn't work just because you have one of the two, like we've seen in San Diego and the current Saints roster. I think you said both of the big Dallas wide receivers, and I know it's kind of riding the hot streak with Randall Cobb, but you know, why not keep riding it against the Pats, who are going to take away your best weapons and make somebody else beat you, Cobb? And, you know, obviously Zeke, good enough to do that.
Yeah, I think that Cooper will still get his kind of fair share of targets, probably the low end of the normal amount of targets that he gets. But if you have an awesome option to replace him with, I totally endorse doing it. Like I just said, I'm getting Tyrell Williams in there, who, you know, they seem to just scheme up plays for him to score. So if you've got something like that, I would go with it. I wouldn't dread having to start Cooper if you don't have a better option, though. I think he'll still get you a his floor production, even though it is Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, I'm just worried. I mean, you could get a game like he had against the Jets where he had one catch for 3 yards.
Since I like to make stupid beer bets that we all forget about, I bet Pollard outscores Amari Cooper this week.
I like it. I like that.
Half point PPR?
Bit, whatever.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
Also, Zeke,
keep us honest, Wayne. Keep us honest.
Yeah, Wayne.
Make sure you tag Clark, though. Sick, though. I like how Wayne somehow, after just like basically trolling us, has now become part of the show. Yeah, he's going to keep us all in line.
Yeah. I just want to say that I will be rooting for Tony Pollard because he is so friggin' awesome. And if he does get more involved in this offense, that's going to be really fun to watch.
Which he should. I wouldn't be surprised if they get him heavily involved in this offense. I mean, the Patriots' run defense has been basically it's how you attack them. And whether or not you want to attribute that to, like, they just suck at stopping the run, or that Belichick's like, let him run and let's roll the clock down and, you know, we'll just get a score. You know, we'll get a lead and we'll run with that, even though the offense is hot garbage. Like, I think Zeke is going to eat. I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Pollard gets a lot of looks both on the ground and in the passing game. He looked great against the Lions in that. And the Patriots don't have great cover linebackers, but they've got an excellent secondary. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this is how you beat this defense. This is the third, fourth, fifth options need to step their game up. Excellent. Nick, what's a sit for you this week?
Okay, got another 2-for-1 for you. We're doing both running backs in the Bucs Falcons game. So, as far as the Bucs, the Atlanta Falcons defense is for real. We talked about how Dan Quinn has been. I don't think he gave it up. I think play calling duties were taken away from him, and two assistants now are calling the plays, as I understand it. One basically handles obvious run plays or run downs. Passing for another.
Wow. I really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like okay. Raheem Morris is
what a bad idea.
Coaching on third down. You don't like it?
That's so stupid.
I can't tell if you're being serious.
No, when you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one quarterback. You have two people calling plays. How is that? That is mind-boggling.
That's funny.
Clark does not approve.
Yeah, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place because their results have been good, but you're making a decent argument for process. So I don't. Anyway, the defense has been performing very well with this new system. What we saw last week when the Bucs faced the Saints was Dore Ogunbowale outsnapping Ronald Jones. They each got, I think, 4 targets in that game. But this came after Bruce Arians saying that he, in fact, wanted to get Jones more involved in the passing game, and then he promptly didn't. A lot of that was game script and inability to run on the Saints. But Because I mean, they split like 7 running back carries, kind of a thing. Yeah, real bad. So anyway, as we know, the Bucks, Falcons defense is playing well. I expect this to be a shootout because both teams, well, Falcons defense, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think this is going to be a heavy dosage of passing game usage, and I think that the Bucs will opt to just not really involve their running backs. On the Falcons side of things, they get to match up with the Bucs secondary, which is like the worst in the league. I think Julio goes, if he's ever going to repeat his like 300 yard performance, this is the one. Their run defense is lights out. They are very good in run defense. So, you know, Devontae Freeman, as I talked about ad nauseum in the offseason, his knee is never going to be the same. When he was out last week, Brian Hill couldn't get it. He had like 17 carries or something and got 30 yards or something terrible. They brought in Quadri Allison, and I don't remember the other guy, but Kenyon basically, thank you. Yeah, they just could not get the running game going. So they're likely going to reinstall an unhealthy Devontae Freeman. I don't like his odds at all of producing. Yeah, so anyway, I think that this will be a battle of two passing games, and that the running backs, even though they will be somewhat involved in the passing game, are really going to be mostly obsolete. I've got them both as running back threes this week.
Yeah, and everyone wants to hear about your fantasy team news. I'm rolling with that Atlanta defense this week, hoping that the Jameis Winston interceptions offset the likely 30 points they'll score.
On one team, I'm starting Winston and the Falcons defense because he throws interceptions nonstop and over 300 yards in multiple touchdowns. Like I think he's been a top 10 quarterback like 4 weeks in a row doing this.
And he's helped whatever defense he's been playing against. So yeah. It's a perfect combination. You're stacking your deck. You know how they talk about how you stack with, you know, quarterback, running back, and wide receiver in DFS lineups? This is a new take on that where you stack Jameis Winston with whatever defense he's playing. Another sit that I have for this week, and we're going back to, I guess I really like this game, Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. You wouldn't think that I love this game, but the Joe Mixon's looked really good recently. He's rattled off 3 15-plus PPR performances, but I don't think that that's going to continue. The Steelers have been the best run defense against fantasy backs the last 4 weeks and haven't allowed a rushing or receiving touchdown in that time. They held Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Todd Gurley, and Marlon Mack all under 11 PPR points, and Hunt was the closest one with like 10.5, I think. Everyone else was single digits. I don't think that he's going to have a startable performance this week, and so you know, you shouldn't expect him to continue his hot streak. You should reinterrogate his goodness this week. Nailed it. So good at this English language I speak.
Yeah, I mean, if you're holding on to Mixon, I would, you know, he's good, but the Bengals aren't.
And yeah, I mean, he had 3 good weeks for you, but yeah, you're right. Like, it's recognized that that was probably the oddity rather than the new norm.
So I think that that's generally fair, but what the Bengals have shown, regardless of game script now, is that they're just going to give the ball to Joe Mixon. They don't give a shit about anything else. They just want to run out the clock so they can end games.
It's a good strategy when your team sucks.
Yeah. So I was very, very low on Mixon for most of the year, but after he got that 30 carry game 2 weeks ago, it came a little back down to earth last week because you can't, that's completely unsustainable. I've got him as a mid-range RB2, and I feel pretty comfortable. He's basically the final RB2 that I'm like, yeah, right on, get him in your lineup. So I'm a little different on this one.
So he's the guy that Darius Geis is going to kick out of the top 24 list, right?
That is funny.
Well, in a podcast full of good transitions, I have the quintessential RB2 as a lean against this week. The Colts have been surprisingly good against the run, and their offense, I think, is going to be cooking regardless of whether T.Y. Hilton plays or not. We already discussed the weaknesses of the Texans. The Texans' defense is now a really good core of run-stopping linebackers. And I'm finished describing the good things about the Texans defense. So I think Carlos Hyde just isn't going to get a lot of opportunity. He salvaged his week last week when the Ravens didn't care and let him get a touchdown. But it's just going to be tough. He's getting volume. He's the RB16 in ESPN scoring, and that is exactly what he has been all year. Just very consistent. And I think this is going to be an off game for Hyde.
I think I would still start him as a running back too. I've got him as the running back 21 this week.
Oh, so close.
Because he just gets 20 carries. Like, Bill O'Brien doesn't give a shit. He just gives him 20 carries. No matter how well Duke Johnson's playing, no matter if they're losing, he just gives Carlos Hyde the ball. It's bananas. He's really bad. But, yeah, I would keep him in the lineup disgustedly because he's going to get 20 carries.
He's not bad. He's just single-dimensional role player. And that's why he's a lean against.
You know what's okay? Actually, you're making a decent argument there in that if he was used in the right way, he could be an effective runner. He could go play LeGarrette Blount's role. Only that you like third and one, you spread the defense out, you hand it to him, and he plows up the middle for a few yards. You get into the goal line, and same thing, spread the defense out by getting like three wide sets or four wide sets and then handing it off up the gut. Yeah, he totally actually could do that. The way that Bill O'Brien is trying to establish the run with him on first and
first and second, baby.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the future.
So Warren Sharp, he actually broke down Bill O'Brien's running play calling specifically in his 2019 football preview, and he revisited it this week on Twitter. Suggest everybody go check it out. He runs the same running back, I think it was after 20 yard gains, higher than any other coach in the NFL, and that play immediately. It's like without fail, it produces. I think it was 1 yard. Basically,
perfect strategy.
When a player has a big run, instead of like quickly subbing him out to get Duke Johnson out there, who's fast and fresh, he immediately goes, "You earned another one," and then he just stalls the drive.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carlos. Did you just run 50 yards? Oh, here, get back in the backfield and run again. Damn it!
It's so bananas.
Oh, Bill, never change. But do change.
Always, please, God, change.
If you waste Deshaun Watson's peak years, me, Clark, Nick, Jordan, this whole podcast, and all
and Wayne.
NFL will be, and Wayne, fucking Wayne's going to be furious.
Oh, God damn it.
All right, well, we are done with starts and sits, but you know what we still have? It is time to bring on the Oracle, who we didn't get last week because we didn't have a start or sit podcast, but the Oracle, 5 for 5. I could have sworn, just to quickly refresh everyone from, what was it, 2 weeks ago now. 2 weeks ago, we had a listener write in, and they were asking, who do you start between Mark Ingram and David Montgomery? And my God, I was so confident in David Montgomery that I was like, even trying to stage how I told my mom about the two running backs to like make her pick David Montgomery so that she stayed perfect. She went with Mark Ingram. And what do you know? Mark Ingram outperformed David Montgomery. So the Oracle is on her game. She does not lie. We have a question from a listener about which wide receiver he should sit. He's got three guys who he needs to pick between. One of them has got to sit. We are going to get the Oracle on the phone, and we will ask her what she thinks.
You've reached the voicemail of Kathy Rogers.
Well,
please leave a message. Thank you.
Sorry.
Sorry. Well, we tried to reach the Oracle, and we did not get her. Clark has, volunteered. Thank you, Clark. It's like not even that late. I don't know what I'm doing here. Clark has volunteered to be the Oracle for the week. So here's the question brought to us from @DeadPlanetCo. Which wide receiver should he sit this week? Terry McLaurin, Michael Gallup, or James Washington? Feel like we've kind of answered it, but Clark, Oracle,
I thought that was the one after you read each player.
What do you think?
James Washington. I know I said sit Gallup earlier, but Mace Rudolph, man, I'm gonna go with my sit is James Washington.
All right, there you go. Well, let's all chime in. Nick, who's your sit?
Probably the same. Okay. That's no, it's Terry McLaurin.
Oh, so close.
He's back on his stuff and his game. And well,
this is
going to suck.
This is going to be literally the least helpful thing ever for this guy, because my set is Michael Gallup. So basically, dude, you take your pick of who you want to sit.
Shit out of luck.
So good question. You sparked a lot of good debate.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. No, because I think everyone's got their flaws. I like Terry McLaurin, and I'll have confidence in him until I die. James Washington, I like the fact that James Washington and Mason Rudolph went to college together. I think that that's the only thing that's like keeping him alive as a viable pass catcher in that offense. And we spent a lot of time talking about Michael Gallup and the Cowboys offense this week. All right.
We'll see.
There you go. We'll see. We shall see. We shall see. What's the most important thing, though, is that this will not affect the Oracle's 5-for-5 record, because she was busy and decided that this podcast did not take precedent over whatever she was doing right now, which is very upsetting.
Good decision.
Good decision. Probably best in her best interest. She knew that this was going to be an impossible question to answer, and she wanted to keep her perfect record as is. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts: iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, the whole nine yards. Leave us a review. Give us 5 stars because you enjoy our show and you want to hear more from us, or you're like Wayne and just want to troll us and tell us that we don't watch football. Feel free to do that. As long as you give 5 stars, that's all we care about. Follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. You can follow myself at Pete M. Rogers, fellow Clark at NFL Clark. Make sure to include his hashtag or his handle when you're coming at him. And Nick at Ginger__ Nick without a K. We will be back at you next week to talk all the football you possibly could want to hear. Have a good week 12, everyone. Best of luck. And until then, peace.